Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Dr. Sarah Let's Talk About It Blog Talk Radio Show. And I'm your host, Dr. Sarah Brodsky. So, wow, how is everyone today? And what is your world like in this moment? I wonder. Are you in a space of clear? Or is there something present for you that you would prefer not to have around? Well, is there any heaviness that's present? And is there any heavy thoughts, feelings, and emotions that may be keeping you from not only being present now, but also keeping you from living the life you would like to live? So I wonder, what else is possible now? Well, that brings us to the topic of the show, and I'm so excited about this show, which is going to be about getting clear on and clearing of the limiting thoughts, feelings, and emotions that may be keeping you limited from choosing and creating greater. So how does it get any better than that? Wow, I wonder. So my live guest and I will be speaking about the cognitive mind and cognition, and referencing and referring to probably more of a traditional psychological treatment approaches, but from a very different non-traditional point of view. And we'll be providing you ways to navigate them from a conscious space of awareness and possibilities. So what I would like to do first is just describe to you, really, the cognitive mind and cognition. And just so we all know what we're referring to and talking to, it'll give you a picture of an awareness around what the cognitive mind is. And I found a really well-written description on what cognition is from an article that I found on Psychology Today. So here it is. What is cognition? Well, cognition refers simply to thinking. There are the obvious applications of conscious reasoning, like doing taxes, playing chess, deconstructing Macbeth. But thought takes many subtler forms, such as interpreting sensory interrupt and input, guiding physiological actions, and empathizing with others. The old metaphor for human cognition was the computer, a logical information processing machine. You can't spell cognition without the cog. Yet while some of our thoughts may be binary, there's a lot more to our, quote, wetware than zeros and ones. Research on cognition focuses not just on thinking, but also on attention, the creation and storage of memories, knowledge, a question, and retention, language learning, and logical reasoning. As people gain new experiences, their cognition can change in subtle but powerful ways as a result. So that is a description of cognition and cognitive mind. So now, I figured before we have the live guest come on, which I'm so excited that she's joining us today, I thought we could go over some quick questions to clear so that whatever we talk about tonight, you'll be able to receive with more ease, with more space available, okay? Like we've done before on this show. So here are the questions. Are you aware of how your cognitive mind limits you? Have you been functioning from your cognitive mind in a way that's a limitation? Are you aware of, and do you perceive about your heavy thoughts, feelings, and emotions? Really, what do you perceive about them? Is this where you tend to function from? Are you tired of it yet? So So everything all that brings up for you, would you like to clear it now? So let's take a deep breath in and release all the heavy on the exhale. Or if you know pon pock, you can use that. So pon pock. Thank you. Wow. There's some heavy energy on all that. So do you share in the point of view that thinking, feelings, and emoting is the way to live in this reality? Have you been taught that, and have you agreed and aligned, resisted, and reacted to that? Have you wronged yourself or these limiting beliefs? So everything that is, take a deep breath in now and let's clear it. And release all the heavy on the exhale or pod and pock. Wow, thank you. So what different point of view are you willing to now open yourself up to when it comes to this? What would it take to choose something greater? What does this look like to you? So everything that is, one last time, let's take a deep breath in. And anything will allow you to get clear on this, let's clear it now. And release it all on the exhale. Or pon pock. Wow, thank you. So let's go ahead and aim to explore this further. And I'm now going to bring on my live guest. So how does it get any better than that? So before I bring her on, I'm going to do a formal introduction to you. And the guest that we will have on tonight is Dr. Adriana Popescu. And I'm so excited to have Dr. Adriana on. And so she is a licensed clinical psychologist, addiction specialist, and empowerment coach with over 25 years of experience in the mental health field. She is also a certified hypnotist, Access Consciousness Certified Facilitator, and Neuro-Emotional Technique Practitioner, having discovered that energy psychology provides incredibly powerful tools to identify and eliminate the deep-rooted causes of suffering and distress. She loves to contribute to people overcoming their perceived limitations, releasing their self-judgments, and discovering the brilliance within, creating life of infinite possibilities. So without further ado, I would love to welcome on Dr. Adriana. Hi, Adriana.
Hi, Sarah. So happy to be here with you today. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so grateful to have you on. And wow, like what a topic for us to talk about tonight.
Yep, the two head doctors coming together.
Coming together to create really what we would like for everyone to receive, and that's infinite possibilities, right?
Yeah.
So I know I was referring to the cognitive mind, which is a place we can certainly start, but what are you aware of when it comes to looking to that space of heavy thought, feelings, and emotions and the cognition versus even the space of living consciously? Like, that may be a great place for us to start.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's so funny when you read that description, of cognition, and when they talked about how the mind is a computer, I think that's a good place to start because in my experience personally and professionally working with clients all these years, I have found that the mind is very much like a computer. It tends to function from programs, right? Software, which are these, thoughts, beliefs that we form from a very young age. The things that we get essentially programmed to believe by our families, the schools, our culture, religion, all the messages we get from early on about how to be in the world. And then also the other thing that computers do is they learn a lot of, like, if you look at Facebook and like the algorithms that run Facebook, for example, it learns whose things you're interested in, right? Your mind, the algorithms, and your mind is like that. It looks at what your past experiences have been to then shape what you expect to happen in the future. In fact, putting you on a very specific path based on the past reference points. And I think that's a great metaphor for how the cognitive mind can work, which doesn't actually work to create a life of infinite possibilities.
Yes. And I love how you describe that. And it's so thorough. And as you were saying it, I could visually see it. And I sense a lot of times, and we obviously created the computer from our minds because that's how they function. And how it's not to wrong the mind, but it also can be very much a limitation, like you said, from infinite possibilities, because our thoughts, feelings, and emotions are very linear-based, very programmed in, very memory, and they can limit us from getting to the space of awareness, choice, question, and living consciously, basically, right?
Yeah, and the other thing that the mind does, and they certainly have plenty of studies that show this, is that the mind engages in a lot of automatic processes, right? Like your brain works so fast that when you look at something, you immediately are categorizing. Like your brain is constantly getting all the sensory input, and it's constantly trying to categorize things. And generally, it is binary, and it's trying to categorize things into two classifications. It's either good or bad, right or wrong, dangerous or safe. Right? That's kind of how your brain is wired as a survival mechanism, really, right? But the problem with that is that if you're constantly categorizing things, consciously or not, into those two categories, then you're going to end up with a lot of cutting off of other possibilities. And you're not really in the question. If you're always looking to fit something into a right or wrong or good or bad, then you're not really looking for any other possibilities outside of that. And so that's kind of abstract. But if I give you like a real life example, so I work a lot with drug and alcohol clients, right? In fact, I'm speaking to you from the rehab that I work at. And what I see a lot with these clients is they have a very black and white way of thinking, right? And when they have had a lot of experience, like negative experiences in their lives, a lot of these people have had trauma, abuse, they got programmed perhaps from a very young age to think that I'm bad, I'm unlovable, I'm worthless. And so they're constantly stuck on this polarity of trying to prove that I'm not, trying to find somebody or something that will accept me for who I am. I'm trying to prove that I'm not bad and unlovable, while at the same time having already decided that I am. So then that sets up all the projections and expectations that basically then, you know, from like a law of attraction perspective, you're going to attract the people and situations that will mirror back to you that belief you hold about yourself.
Yeah, which keeps them stuck in the addiction. And really, it keeps them really from this other side of being, because our being is not our mind. It's the energy probably that you and I speak of a lot of times. It's that space of awareness and consciousness. But our mind will actually try to cut that off and create this whole scenario like you just described, which keeps the addiction going, I can imagine, which is my awareness of it, because that's what I'm aware of when I work with individuals with addictions too.
Yeah. Well, right. It's the glitch is in the thinking process, and it's a distorted, you know, just today in group, we were talking about core false beliefs. So what is that? Well, the core beliefs are those programs we have that we get early in life. Like if you're different, so we're, you know, our reality puts a lot of pressure on us to fit in, right? To be like everyone else, to be liked by everyone else. So if you have a core belief that I have to fit in, I have to be like everyone else, then your anything that makes you different is not okay. If you're too tall, if you're too short, if you, whatever it is, look this way, look that way, whatever it is that makes you different becomes categorized in your mind as a wrongness or a badness, right?
Yeah.
So then.
Which keeps them limited from being who they are.
Exactly. So people are compromising and cutting off parts and pieces of themselves from this dysfunctional belief that I have to fit in, I have to be like everyone else. And so we talk about how that's actually, most of the times, that's a false concept. It's not even real. Who says we have to fit in? Right. Why are we not celebrating one's difference? You know, for what reason do we need to all be the same? I mean, are we all like, I'm picturing stormtroopers. Are we all like little stormtroopers or are we more like snowflakes?
Yes.
But having a belief, and carrying a go ahead.
I was just going to say the whole idea of the computer is robotic and everyone having to be the same and think the same way, whereas that ends up being the lie. And how I've referred to before, it's heavy, whatever's heavy for you, there, it's a lie. And what's light for you is the truth for you. So people will end up living a lie like that's the truth. And that's what you're referring to, I sense.
Well, yeah, and it goes far reaching. I mean, the if you have a belief, like as a, you know, that you have to look a certain way, I must, you know, as a woman, I must have these dimensions and proportions and fit into a size, whatever. And, you know, so many of us have that point of view. And when you're functioning from that, you might be putting yourself through all kinds of really painful experiences. Like maybe you're going to starve yourself or, you know, be bulimic, or maybe you're going to become a plastic surgery addict because you're never good enough. You know, like not good enough is one of those most core limiting beliefs, core false beliefs I come across with people, is this idea that I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not lovable enough. I'm not enough in some variation of that. And I see the level of suffering that emerges from that, because when you're functioning from not enough, it's going to create emotions, because feelings come from thoughts. So the feelings and emotions of shame, unworthiness, hopelessness, depression, all of that's going to emerge from having a point of view like that.
Yeah, and keep it going over and over again, looking to get it to go away by doing more to make it perfect, and it's never perfect enough because that's
it's never
belief
enough.
That's actually the limitation. Yeah, so that's really,
correct.
It's almost like a hamster on a wheel or this Mobius strip that never stops playing until you actually choose something else, which are some of the tools that you and I work with clients that bring in a very different point of view, I would say, than most psychologists.
Right. Well, right. Most psychologists are trying to get you to live with what is rather than empowering you to really change it, you know? You know, not to put down, I mean, I think there's wonderful value in a lot of the traditional psychological approaches. I mean, cognitive behavioral therapy, it can be extremely powerful. And there's situations in which I don't find it super helpful. Like when somebody is so activated with emotion, like let's say the emotion of fear, and they're in the full blown fight, flight, freeze, at that point, your mind isn't, you don't even have access to your mind at that point. Your
That's
blood
right.
flow to your brain, 70% of the blood flow goes out of your brain and into your extremities, because you're right now, you're wired to fight, flight, or play dead, right? It's your survival mechanism. And what ends up happening for so many people is that fight, flight, freeze mechanism gets activated in response to situations that are not actually life or death, that come from functional thought. Like, oh, you're accusing me of something? Oh, you want to, like, I think about, like, guys at a bar who've had too much drink. What'd you say about me? How'd you look at me? How'd you look at her? You know, and they get this, like, emotional response, right, based on a thought that you're threatening me in some way. And then now they're going to get into some big fight. Why? Because of some idea that isn't even probably true. You just happen to be looking.
And they're
at
not
the
even
person,
there.
You know?
Yeah, and they're not even there consciously to choose something else because they're already gone. And it's almost a lot of times this may be, this is a whole nother show, but like PTSD response, which is post-traumatic stress based on a frequency or energy that was there before, that now comes around that has nothing to do with the original trauma, but all of a sudden it's triggered. So any one of these things could create this disconnect from which then there's really nowhere to go unless you, my awareness that doing some of these clearing tools actually contribute to allowing someone to bring it back and see it from a different point of view, even if it's to start breathing again, because a lot of times the breath is gone for a lot of these individuals with that. So, during those moments, cognitive behavioral. won't work.
Right. It's not helpful. And the thing is, it's like the computer is, you know, your mind at that point is like calculating information incorrectly. It's actually processing information incorrectly. It's taking a sensory input. Like the classic example is like the Vietnam War veteran who on the 4th of July hears the fireworks, but in his brain is telling him we're back in the war and we're being attacked and I need to like get my weapon or I need to like, you know, get under the table. His brain is telling him he's back in the war when, in fact, that's false information. So the mind is actually quite unreliable. And we know this from eyewitness testimony. That's another example, right? Like you get 10 people to witness the same event and they all are going to see it through a different filter. Like the same exact event will be interpreted 10 different ways.
Yeah.
So our mind,
and that can
our
even
mind
be
is
how...
not a reliable tool.
No, and it may even... interpret everything each time different for even our own thought, feelings, emotions. So I know, and maybe this would be helpful for our listeners, that if we can be in more of a space of perceiving the feelings and get a sense of what we know rather than what we think, and really be more than moving into the emotions, that could be what shifts us really into conscious space. Like maybe we can focus on that a little bit of what that's like and anything that you would like to share about that?
Well, I think it's the idea of asking a question, right? Instead of assuming, instead of letting your computer program of a mind make assumptions and calculations based on past reference points or programs, what if instead you actually ask the question, like, hey, what's really going on here? Like, okay, so I'm aware, I'm sensing, I'm perceiving an emotion, let's say anxiety. Like, is that actually my anxiety? Because what people don't realize is the vast majority of the thoughts, feelings, and emotions that you think are yours and coming from you are, in fact, something you're empathically picking up on from others.
Yes.
And so
we've definitely talked about
question,
this on the show before. Yes, that question is so important.
So asking who does this belong to? Where is this coming from? Is this even true? Am I actually under attack right now? Do I have a tiger chasing me down in the forest? Or am I seeing things through this distorted lens of my mind, right? My mind is telling me something is threatening when it actually isn't. By asking a question, you start to open up to a different possibility.
Yeah, and it brings us back to the moment to really assess what's going on. And I love how you describe that so well. And it's really our minds can be very creative. I kind of joke with clients, like, it would be great for a made-for-TV reality television show. However, I don't recommend it unless you're getting paid for it, for a script to Hollywood. So that it's not exactly a way to live your life. It's ways to, but checking in and really getting to the question, which is awesome, really, like you said, opens up to then being able to clear whatever's heavy. Like if it is using the deep breathing technique I showed on the show or the PANPAK, like those are ways to then really it opens the door to getting to those infinite possibilities from which you can then choose something greater.
Yeah. The other modalities I think that are helpful or tools that are helpful with that is just really basic stuff like mindfulness and meditation. I mean, the thing is you have to become aware of what your mind is doing. If you're going to actually have any possibility for changing it, you have to be aware. You have to recognize, oh, look at it. I'm thinking this. I'm feeling this. What is that about? But if you're on autopilot, like many, you know, people's minds work on autopilot, you're not actually slowing down long enough or have any distance between you and you, the being, who you are as a being, your soul, your spirit, whatever you want to call it, and the thoughts and feelings. Those are two separate things, okay? Descartes was very mistaken when he said, I think, therefore I am. Okay, I am, and I also happen to think, right?
Yes.
So when you do, like, meditation – or get your bars run or anything that allows, you know, your brain waves to like slow down a bit and for you to be able to observe them from a distance, then that creates a space for you to be able to ask those questions.
Yeah, it really, it gets to that space. We're clearing kind of the gamma part of the brain where we tend to get all this overstimulation. And so there's more room and more space to access that. I love that. And I know you mentioned that you have a class coming up that you're going to be speaking more to this. Is that?
Yeah.
Is that going to be?
I'm actually October 16th, Wednesday, October 16th at noon Pacific time. I'm going to be doing a free online webinar on Zoom on this topic of catastrophic thinking. What's the worst that could happen? Where I'm going to go more in depth on this topic with and give some of the tools I've learned, particularly from Access Consciousness, that I think are really helpful in getting clearer on what catastrophic thinking is, where it's coming from, and how we can change it.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Well, I'm so glad you're offering that. And people can reach you. I have your website up. I have an email. So if they have any questions, they could certainly email you about it. And wow. And I'm aware our time like flew by, Dr. Adriana. I'm so grateful that you came on the show, and I would love to have you back on. Either we could continue this conversation or certainly verge into another one. But I would love to have you back on. Would you be open to that?
Of course. My pleasure. Yeah.
Well, fantastic. And thank you again so much for joining us tonight. I'm just so excited that the listeners got to hear us really explore all of this.
Yeah, and I just love the, you know, even with our fellow professionals, just like letting people know that these things can change. Everything is made up of energy, which means that including your thoughts, feelings, emotions, meaning that everything
yes.
is malleable and changeable. So if we can
absolutely.
Give hope to the listeners that just because you might be stuck on a hamster wheel of negative thoughts, heavy feelings, whatever it is, that doesn't mean you have to stay there. You have the capacity to change it. And there are many, many tools out there that can help you with it.
Absolutely. Thank you, and I agree so much. So thank you so much, and we'll definitely look forward to having you back on.
Thank you.
So real quick, everyone, just as we usually do, the question of the week. So the question of the week is, what heavy thoughts, feelings, and emotions are you keeping you from creating greater? So what heavy thoughts, feelings, and emotions are keeping you from creating greater? That's the official one. So I'll say it one more time. What heavy thoughts, feelings, and emotions are keeping you from creating greater? So be with that question. See what you notice. Again, it's not about getting an answer, but it's just about whatever awareness you receive from it. And so next week's episode, I am so excited to have a new guest on again. And his name is Merline Wolznick. I'm so excited to have Merline on, and we are going to talk more about living consciously and possibly some cool tools for you to use, and I'm sure we'll be looking at things from a very different point of view, so I'm so grateful for that he'll be on, and that will be next Monday, October the 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I would like to close the show by thanking my guest, Dr. Adriana Popescu, and for joining us today, as well as thank each of you, the listeners, for your amazing energy and contribution. I really couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much. I would also like to acknowledge how grateful I am to be your host, and so look forward to continuing to be part of this journey with you. So now, go forth this week, knowing I have your back, knowing that you being you and the difference you be is the difference this world requires and desires. So again, go forth and be, perceive, know, and receive, my friends. And I'll look forward to talking to you again next time. Bye for now.